couple of weeks ago we said we were going to finish up the Chassidus, so maybe today we really will finish up the Chassidus. That's the theoretical plan right now. So we began to discuss at the end of the shiur last week about the bracha one recites before one does the mitzvah of tzitzis. The truth is that tzitzis really isn't any different from any other mitzvah in this regard, and therefore the regular rules of birchas hamitzvahs l'chayu should apply to tzitzis as well. So the first basic rule we have of birchas hamitzvahs, we spoke a little bit about this in tefillin, is kol mitzvahs mevarech lehem over lasiyasan. One recites the bracha before one does the mitzvah. So there are two parts of that halacha, that one recites the bracha before one does a mitzvah. So the first part is that it can't be too early. The Rishonim call over the over. So let's say a person has his tallah sitting in the bag, and as he walks into shul, so he says, Asher kidishan mitzvahs of tzitzis, but sitzis, then he starts unzipping his bag, takes out the tallah, puts it over him. So that's already too early. That's called over the over, and that's not acceptable. Similarly, the halacha is that it has to be over, and can't just be afterwards. One is not supposed to recite the bracha after one does the mitzvah. But here, tzitzis is a little bit of an exception to the rule the Rambam tells us, because tzitzis is what's called a mitzvah hanimsheches. Tzitzis is a type of a mitzvah that is an ongoing kiyum to, an ongoing fulfillment to it. So let's say if a person put his talis on and he forgot to recite the bracha, he could still make the bracha because he's still fulfilling the mitzvah. Every second that he's wearing tzitzis is an ongoing fulfillment of the mitzvah. So that's still considered to be a fulfillment of over lasiyosan. We spoke about this in concerning tefillin also. There are some other mitzvahs that perhaps maybe some. There's one possibility, the Bach in Hilchos Kedushin suggests that maybe the same is true when it comes to getting married. That if a person forgot to recite the bracha Asher Kiddushanu before he is Mekadosh his wife, or he puts the ring on her finger, so maybe he could recite the bracha afterwards, the Bach says. Why? Because maybe marriage is like a mitzvah hanimsheches. Why is it a mitzvah hanimsheches? So it's considered to be every second that you're married, that's a fulfillment of Ki'ika Chishisha. So that's usually not assumed that way. This is the source for that. There was a famous joke between two Rosh Hashivas, that one Rosh Hashiva was telling over to another one, the Shtikl Torah, the marriage is an ongoing kiyum. It's that the din of kedushin, the chalos, is reenacting itself every second of marriage. So the other yeshiva turns around to him. He wasn't very impressed with the shtikl Torah, so he wished him mazel tov. He said, "Why mazel tov?" He said, "According to your shtikl Torah, you just got married. So sometimes you have to take the shtikl Torahs and, you know, put them aside for a minute." So, but when it comes to the mitzvah tzitzis, it probably is correct that the Rambam already writes that tzitzis is an example of a mitzvah nimsheches. Lechatchila, you should try to recite the bracha beforehand, but if you didn't, so you can recite the bracha afterwards. So it's this halacha that we sometimes invoke even lechatchila. Sometimes we have a situation where even lechatchila we will not recite the bracha of tzitzis until after the tzitzis are on. And the most common example of this is when a person's davening in a minyan that begins before the zman. So you're going to put your talis on before it's the zman to recite the bracha. There is a machlekes, when is that zman exactly? The Ramah writes the zman is alos hashachar, and the Gra claims the zman is mishiyakir. So it's unclear when exactly the zman is, but somebody yonim saw before all the zman. So if you put your talis on before the correct zman of reciting the bracha, so then one would not recite the bracha right then and there. One would wait until it's a little bit later to recite the bracha. What does one do when one reaches the time, whatever the appropriate time is? Does one have to do anything? So the Gemara speaks about this concerning tefillin. The Gemara says that if a person puts tefillin on before the zman, when it comes time for the zman of tefillin, then you're supposed to touch the tefillin, adjust the tefillin a little bit, and then you recite the bracha. So Tosfos has a suffix. Why is that true? Is that true because whenever you recite a bracha, after the mitzvah has already begun, so it's not appropriate to recite the bracha in the middle of nowhere. You should have some kind of a connection with the mitzvah. You should do something, some token touching, some total symbolic gesture to address the mitzvah itself physically, and then recite the bracha. Is that the pshat? Or is that no? It's halacha nuchos tefillin, because tefillin, there's a special mitzvah to touch one's tefillin, the mashmish with tefillin. There's a mitzvah to be cognizant of one's tefillin all the time. So maybe that's where the Gemara said it's appropriate to touch your tefillin. Maybe this wouldn't apply in other mitzvahs. What's the nafkamina ladina? So the Rishonim write, the nafkamina is tzitzis. So a person puts his tzitzis on an hour before the zman. Now comes time to recite the bracha. Does he have to stop playing with the strings? He has to start pashking around mimashmish b'tzitzis or not? So if you hold the reason why mimashmish b'tfillin is, it's a general rule nuchos brachos. Whenever you recited a bracha, whenever you did a mitzvah too early, and now it's time to recite the bracha, you have to do something to reconnect physically to the mitzvah. So then that would carry over to nuchos tzitzis as well. Mashenkin, if you hold that it's a unique din in nuchos tefillin, so then it's only big tefillin. It has nothing to do with tzitzis. So we try to be knowing to do it. The person makes the bracha before. The person puts the tzitzis on before the zman. When it comes to correct zman, so we're not going to have mishadaka touch the tzitzis. We have nothing to lose. It's not such a costly chumrah. So the chetchilu, when you rate the bracha, you should feel the tzitzis and make the bracha l'satir, amitzvah, whatever bracha you're going to make. So once a person has recited this bracha, he's fulfilled the mitzvah of tzitzis, he recited the bracha. So it's the end of the story. What else is there to discuss in terms of Hilchos brachas as it relates to tzitzis? So then we touch upon something we also spoke a little bit about tefillin, but the rules may be a little bit different between tzitzis and tefillin. And that's the following shaila. What if a person already recited the bracha, and now a hefsek develops? Now something happens which could potentially warrant him, require him to recite another bracha. What happens? So the most common scenario is he takes the tzitzis off. So if a person was wearing tzitzis from 8 o'clock in the morning, the talis gadol, whatever it is, and now he takes it off, and now it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and now they're off for 5 minutes, and he wants to put the tzitzis back on again, must he recite another bracha or not? So this was a big machlokes at poskim, machlokes to Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. So the Shulchan Aruch said, yes, anytime you take your tzitzis off, no matter what, you have to make another bracha. If you remember, we had this by tefillin also, anytime you take your tefillin off, you have to put them back on, you have to make another bracha, according to the Shulchan Aruch. But we generally are not knowing this way, we don't practice this way, we follow the Rama. The Rama writes that, no, that the only time you would have to recite a new bracha, both by tefillin and by tzitzis, would only be if you took them off for a significant amount of time, which is unclear how much significant amount of time is, if you took them off for a while, or even if you took them off for a short amount of time, but you weren't planning on putting them back on. So let's say it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you took the tzitzis off, and you weren't interested in putting them back on anymore, and then 2 minutes later you change your mind, you put them back on, so then you would be required to make a bracha. So according to the Rama, you have to have a real formal hesek hadas, a real break in the action, in order to be re-required to recite a bracha. It has to be either that there was a significant gap of time, or there was an actual hesek hadas, there was an actual intention that the person wasn't going to put the tzitzis back on. If either one of those two things are not there, if it took it off for a minute to put it back on again, then one would not recite the bracha.
Maybe that applies if you have your change.
No, so that's the exception to the rule, that if a person switches to another banyan, so then even according to the Ramah, they would be required to recite a new bracha, because a new banyan is a new mitzvah, it's a new chalashem, so that's a different mitzvah, so then one would be required to recite a new bracha. So a kopanim, we, the Ashkenazim, who are knowing like this Ramah, that we limit the recitation of a new bracha only to a case where there was a formal eschadas, either of time or of new beged, or of intention. So this becomes very tricky for us. The guidelines become very, very unclear as to what point do we say that the tzitzis were taken off for too long. So the Mishnah Berurah says, what if a person takes off his tzitzis to go to the bathhouse? So the Mishnah Berurah says, avadi, you have to make a new bracha when you put him back on again. The Mishnah Berurah was talking about the bathhouse of Radin. It was a half day of event. So you got to the bathhouse, you sat in the schwitz, so you washed all that, it took you a few hours. So that's Eschadas. Today a guy takes a shower. It's a Friday afternoon. A guy jumps into the shower for 30 seconds and jumps out, has to make a new bracha. Hard to believe. So then the question becomes, at what point do you draw the line? So say a guy, before he takes a shower, first he goes on the treadmill for 20 minutes. And then he takes a shower. So he has to make a new bracha. A guy goes, plays a little basketball. He plays basketball, goes swimming. Where do you draw the line? So unfortunately, the answer to that question is, I don't know. And I don't think anybody really knows that. There is no real crystal clear. There is no number written in stone as to what's considered to be Eschadas. It's very, very hard to answer that question. People ask me the question all the time. In the summertime, all the boys ask me questions about 100 times this summer. I get the same question. Guy takes off the tzitzis to play basketball. He puts them back on again. When does he make a bracha? It's very, very hard to say. I'm going to throw out a number just stam. It's an arbitrary number of an hour. It's not a halacha milchus shows manius. Approximately, if a guy takes his tzitzis off for less than an hour, mistam, that's not considered to be hesek hadas. More than an hour, maybe it is. And again, it's hard to say. It's really, really, it's hard to say. What I sometimes do is, let's say, if I take my tzitzis off to exercise or to play ball or something for a while, so after I finish playing ball, so I'm going to put them on for a second. So that way it'll minimize a little bit the eschadas. Then between games, that's a good incentive to lose. If you keep on winning every game, then you're going to be on the court for longer. So if you put them on, let's say after you come out of treadmill, you put them on for 2 seconds, then you jump into the shower, so that minimizes the eschadas. So maybe one wouldn't be required to make a bracha. And all these types of shailas, be suffic once you're not recite a bracha. If you're not convinced that you had a eschadas, so it's better not to recite a bracha. The bracha is not ma'akev, and suffic bracha is always go to Kula. Yeah, the question is that a gorim, a little bit of a gorim bracha shen tzricha? I mean, you argue it's not a gorim shen bracha shen tzricha, you're in a suffic brachas anyway. I don't know. I'm not sure. There are...
If your towel slips off, like accidentally slips off, you should make a bracha. But you're not losing hesed.
Right, so that's another thing, right? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim that if your talis falls off by itself, because you didn't take it off, it fell off by itself, so that for sure is considered to be like Eschadas. That for sure you would require to miss that in Bracha. If you take it off, if you personally take it off, so you can argue having in mind to put it back on again, but if it fell off, so then the mitzvah is over. So the only thing is that the question whether that didn't really apply is Bezman Azeh for the following reason. The Poskim quote this did in two different places. They quoted in Hilchus Tzitzis and they quoted in Hilchus Tefillin. That if a person's Tefillin fell out of place by themselves, so if I remove them off for a second, I move them back on again. So the Rama says, you don't make a new bracha. But if they fell off out of place by themselves, then I would be required to recite a new bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shlach Kodesh, who says that doesn't apply Bezman Azeh. Because in the olden days, when a person wore Tefillin the entire day, so that's when that halacha was said. But Bezman Azeh, a person wears Tefillin for 20 minutes, for the time of half hour, 35 minutes, for the time of davening, so that it's understood his kavana is for the whole davening. So even if it slips out of place, that's still covered by his original kavana. That's what the Shlach says. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Shlach Nuchas Tefillin, doesn't quote a Nuchas Tzitzis. So many Poskim say that it's the same thing, it's the same Svar. Even though Mishnah Berurah didn't quote a Nuchas Tzitzis, it's the same idea. That Bezman Azeh, we wear a talis, so we think of a talis as a davening-oriented beged, even though it's nothing really to do with davening, but we think of it as a davening-oriented beged. So therefore, when the talis falls off in the middle of tefillah, that's still covered by the original kavanah. If your talis kanfas would somehow fall off, you have to figure out a really good way for that to happen. So if your head would fall off out of your beged, so then you wouldn't, then maybe you'd have to make a new bracha. But the classic case of the talis falling off, so I think that the minhag is like that Mishnah Berurah, even though Mishnah Berurah himself only quotes a nuchas tefillah and not a nuchas tzitzis.
We keep fluctuating between talis cut and talis girdle. So I mean, even if your talis girdle falls off, you definitely have your talis girdle.
Right, that's also a question. Right, also that may also mean the fact that talis cut is on may save the kavanah also possibly.
And back to also what bracha would make that talis cut for adults. We also talking about for adults if they're making that bracha.
Right, so if an adult has to make a new bracha on tzitzis, say in the middle of the day puts on a new beged or something, then he would make the bracha on mitzvah tzitzis according to the minhag of the Ramah. The Sfad would make mesatef even on talis katan, but the Ramah would make on mitzvah tzitzis.
So, Rabbi, it depends how long the break is on Yom Kippur. It depends how long the
right, so that's the people ask me to shout very often on Yom Kippur. So a guy goes home and then he comes back to put the talis back on an hour later, does he recite a new bracha? So it's also a shtickle suffic bracha. So it's hard to know how long it's considered. I shouldn't go for such a long break. You know, angel, whatever it is. It's easy for me to say. Are there any other activities that could really serve as a hesek hadas, that could really break up the continuity of the mitzvah and require one to recite a new bracha? So the Rishonim discuss, what about going to sleep? So primarily going to sleep at night. So a person put on his tzitzis in the morning, so he put on his talis katan in the morning, argument saying he made a bracha on it, he's wearing it the whole day, no hesek hadas, then he goes to sleep at night. Now he wakes up the next morning and he's still wearing the same talis katan, whether he should or not, it's a different story, but he's still a mice, he's still wearing the same talis katan. Well, he didn't go to sleep at night, he was up the whole night, but he never got undressed, he's on the plane the whole night. Now the next morning comes, is he required to recite a new bracha or not? So the Rishonim start to pilpul that maybe it depends on the machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh. If you remember, we spoke about it in the previous weeks, that according to the Rambam, when nightfall comes, you're not fulfilling a mitzvah. The mitzvah's over, finished, gemarnu. So when the next morning comes, there was an unbelievable break. It was a break of 12 hours. You haven't been yotzei a mitzvah. Even though you've physically been wearing the beged, but you haven't been yotzei a mitzvah. So if a guy makes a leishim b'sukkah in the sukkah, and then he sits in the sukkah the entire year, then the next sukkah comes, he has to make a leishim b'sukkah. Because for 350 days, there was no mitzvah sukkah. He's maybe got a little cold in the process. So to over here, according to the Rambam, there was a 12-hour break in the fulfillment of the mitzvah, so you would be required to recite a new bracha. What about according to the Rosh? So according to the Rosh, it's a little bit trickier. According to the Rosh, who says that you yod say the mitzvah of tzitzis even at night, as long as the beged is a beged yom, as long as it's a beged, it's a garment that's designated as a day beged, so talis katan and talis gadol, those are big day yom. So the fact that this meshugan is sleeping in his tzitzis, so that doesn't detract from the fact that he's still yotzei a mitzvah. So l'chor, according to the Rosh, it's not a hesek hadas. Unless one wants to argue that even according to the Rosh, when you go to sleep, so you can't fulfill mitzvahs in your sleep. There's an Aruch HaShulchan that says that in a different context, that there's no such thing as doing mitzvahs when you're sleeping. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, the reason why you can't fulfill mitzvahs in your sleep is because you're like dead. Because the Gemara says sleep is 1/60th of death, so b'meisim chavshi. I don't think he really means that. I think he means a little bit of a malitza. So. But yeah, l'chara, that's the exception to the rule, because the whole mitzvah, the nature of the mitzvah is that's what he was telling me about. It's the easiest mitzvah to fulfill, because as soon as you're sleeping, you rack up the brownie points without doing anything. Maybe the hardest mitzvah to get to that point, but once you're there, then you're home free. So this is a question the Poskim have. What would the din be? According to the Rambam, Machar, you do have to make a bracha. According to the Rush, maybe and maybe no. Now the problem is, we never committed ourselves to this Machlekes Rambam of the Rush. The Poskim write, it's a sfeik in the dina. We don't know what to do. So this is a problem. If a person sleeps the whole night in his tzitzis, he wakes up the next morning, does he have to recite a new bracha? Not, it's unclear. Well, for that matter, even if a person didn't go to sleep, if he was up the whole night, is he mechuyev to recite a new bracha? So it's a suffix bracha. So a suffix bracha is local. So we generally don't recite a bracha under these circumstances. That's the reason why, when if a person doesn't wear a talis gadol, say a bachar on Shavuos night, he's got a problem, because when he was up the whole night, he was wearing his tzitzis the whole night, and now when it comes the next morning, mishiyakir, so he's not sure whether we should make a bracha or not. So that's why that practice is that anyone who's a bachar who's not wearing a talis gadol, we tell him to listen to somebody's bracha, because he really can't make a bracha on his own tzitzis since he was sleeping on them the whole night. So he should be yelty with somebody else's bracha at the time.
So why is it the easiest situation for him to take it off?
So that's the question always of being goyim a bracha. Let's say I would take off my tzitzis right now and I would put them back on again a second later for no other reason, just to make another bracha. That's a shayla of goyim bracha shen tzricha we try to avoid. There are other issues that come up in terms of Hesach Hadas, in terms of Bracha and Tzitzis. What if a person is putting on multiple begadim? So say if a person's going to put on 100 pairs of Tzitzis, so you only make one Bracha, you make Almitz, Tzitzis, one Lesata, whatever Bracha you make, and that covers all the begadim. Assuming that you put it all on one after another. What if you recite a Bracha now, and then you don't get around to put, and you put on one begad, and you don't put on the other begad for a while? So is that second begad covered by the Bracha on the first begad? So that's a whole pilpul in the Shulchan Aruch about, is that called Hesach Hadas? Is it Shini Mokom? If you go from one place to another, Hilchos Brachas, Brachas Anen, it becomes very complicated. So it's because of that whole sugya that we usually practice, many people usually practice, that even though they're going to put on a talis katan and then they're soon going to put on a talis gadol, so they only make one bracha on the two. That means they don't, in theory, one could have argued you make a bracha when you put in a talis katan. If it's after the zman, then you make a bracha 10 minutes later when you get to shul and your talis gadol. But since we're not sure whether that's a bracha levatol or not, because maybe the talis gadol was covered by the talis katan, so then you should really only make one bracha. So which bracha should you make? So the minig is that you make a bracha on the talis gadol, even though the talis gadol is the one that's being fulfilled later, but that's the satif, that's the real bracha. So that bracha covers the talis katan. That's what most Ashkenazim have a practice when it's a bachor who doesn't wear a talis gadol. So he makes almitzah tzitzis when he wakes up in the morning, when he puts his tzitzis on. But most of us have the practice that we don't make a bracha almitzah tzitzis anymore when you get dressed, when you put your talis gadol on. When you get to shul, then you make lesatif a tzitzis, and lesatif a tzitzis covers the almitzah tzitzis. The question is, what if there's a tremendous break? What if what if a person's getting dressed in the morning, then he comes to shul, he says a daf yom yishia, then he says tehillim for a while, then until he gets around. Sometimes he's got to go other things. Sometimes the doctor's got to go around to the hospital before he gets to daven. Sometimes the guy's, I'm going to a bris in Brooklyn, it takes me 3 hours to get there. There are a lot of big hefsekim. So what do you do? That becomes a little bit more questionable. Maybe in those circumstances, maybe a person should recite both brachos. That's a real hefsek, but I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I never do that. I make one lisati batzitzas and everything, whether it's a 20-minute break, a half-hour break, whatever it is, it's hard to... But the Yevon Yotzei, for sure, with the lisati batzitzas, the Yotzei, and everything. So rather than getting to a question of a bracha shena tzricha or a bracha levatala even, so it's probably the safer of the two approaches. So that's what many people are such a custom. The almitzas tzitzas kind of got lost in the shuffle. You only... Once you get married, you only make that bracha once in a while. If you put on a new beggar in the middle of the daytime or something, you have a real heskadas, so then you would make that bracha. In the normal circumstance, that bracha usually gets lost in the shuffle.
I once asked Rav Schechter about this.
Yeah.
He said that he thinks nowadays we should say two brachos.
Because we have such a big hefsek.
Yeah, I mean, he used to be in the old...
Right. The guy didn't go anywhere.
He put on his talis katan.
And then he walked across the street. Right. Right.
But he says nowadays it's different. So yeah. He thinks we should make both.
I don't know. Okay.
If you take a nap on Shabbos, you make a almost as this and put on a talis katan again.
You mean if you took your tzitzis off for a nap? Depends how long your nap is. It depends. If you have what we used to call in yeshiva the fleshig milchik nap. If you go to sleep fleshig, so you wake up milchik, then you're not a yeki. So that's those kind of naps. That's a nap. But after you get married and have children, those naps are something of the past. Maybe later in life you go back to those naps. But uh, In Hilchos Tzitzis, the poskim discuss a whole nother bracha involved in the recitation of the bracha of the regular bracha of Bal Mitzvah Tzitzis, Satip Tzitzis, and that's the role of the bracha of Shechiyanu. So what in the world does Shechiyanu do with Hilchos Tzitzis? So in two different applications of this. So first of all, it's in Hilchos Tzitzis, which is the first mitzvah in Or Chaim, in Simen Ches, where the poskim have the opportunity to discuss the shal, is where they discuss it. When a person does a mitzvah for the first time in one's life, so does one recite a Shechiyanu or not? So we know that Shechiyanu is recited on the Yom Tovim, and Shechiyanu is recited on mitzvahs that are done once a year, or perhaps mitzvahs that are done very uncommon, like bris, and according to some Rishon Bris, so we don't make a Shechiyanu by bris for a different reason. Pidyon HaBen, there are a whole series of mitzvahs that we recite Shechiyanu on. But what about a regular standard mitzvah that could be done every day of one's life, but today's opening day? Today's the first day that I'm going to do that mitzvah in my life. So it's the first time I'm going to wear tzitzis, the first time I'm going to wear tefillin. So tzitzis is usually not so common, because tzitzis, since he was 3 years old, he's been wearing tzitzis, and somehow Shechiyanu got lost in the shuffle. But let's say the mitzvah tefillin or other mitzvahs that a person does mamish for the first time, is there a Shechiyanu or not? So it's an Hilchos Tzitzis that the poskim begin to discuss this. So this is a major machlekes in the Rishonim and the later poskim what to do. I think that our meaning is generally not to. I think that we usually don't recite a Shechiyanu on these things. The poskim discuss the first time a Shechet Shech, the first time we does Kisi Adam, the first time every time you do. So I never Shechted an animal, so I never had the Shaila, but I did do Kisi Adam a few times. So the first time I did Kisi Adam, we were down on the Shaila. What's the din? So you have to look at Hilchos Tzitzis to figure out what the din is. So that, I think most people today don't recite a Shechiyanu when they do the mitzvah the first time. This is the same shot of getting married. A person gets married for the first time. Hopefully the first time, it should last for a long time. So he recites the bracha of Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah, Arayas. He doesn't recite it. The Messiah Kiddushan recites it for him. Should he recite a Shechiyanu also? Because he's doing the mitzvah of Kikah Chishisha for the first time. So it's the same shayla. So the Sfaradim takadu. The Sfaradim recite Shechiyanu under the chuppah, but just to be sure that it's not a bracha matol, they put on a new talis also. So they cover with both. Whereas Ashkenazim, we usually don't put a talis on under the chuppah, the yakis, they usually don't say Shechiyanu. We assume misafik brachas lahakal, so we don't recite a Shechiyanu. So when I got married, so I was trying to figure out how to be yotzei this l'chol hadeis. So I had a new suit. So you have a new suit. So new suit, l'chol you say Shechiyanu on. Not so simple that the Rav held that Bezman Hazeh, he was very weary to say Shechiyanu on new suits. He says that in the olden days, a guy bought a suit. A guy got a new something for his bar mitzvah, and then if he was lucky, he got a new one for his chasana, and then maybe when he married off his daughter, he got something else to wear. So it was a real event. It was something which is so exciting. Bezman Hazeh, the Sims Bash, Sims last night in Yonah Diyoma. I said I had, somebody came over to me last night, I was in Sims, somebody came over to me, and they said they think that we should have a rally here. There are so many people here, we can have a rally. So, yeah, anyway, whatever it was. So, a guy goes, buys a new suit Labor Day, and buys a new suit Winter Bash, and the Spring Bash, and the Summer Bash. Every 2 months, he's back and buying a new suit. So, Bizman is asking, you say buying a new suit is something that's so exciting. It's like the same, we don't make a Shechiyanu an undershirt. You're not excited about buying an undershirt, so you're not so excited about buying a suit. So the Rav didn't recite Shechiyanu on new suits. It was others, whatever, they still do, whatever it is. So I was nervous here. I had one hand, I had bought a Chasna suit. It was probably a little bit nicer than my standard Sims Bash. But on the other hand, I was nervous to recite a Shechiyanu. So there was one of my brothers-in-law had also bought a new suit. So I asked him, do you recite a Shechiyanu a new suit? So he didn't know me that well yet, so he didn't know all my shittas. So he said, yeah, of course. When he was a kid, he told me, make Shechiyanu a new suit. So I said, okay, good. I said, when we're getting dressed together, I said, you recite a Shechiyanu. Have in mind to be motzi me on two things. Have in mind to be motzi me on the suit, and have in mind to be motzi me on my new wife. I said that we should be, that Shechiyanu should be chal on the mitzvah's kedushin. So he thought I was absolutely off. I didn't have the chutzpah yet to ask my father-in-law to do that. That would have been already. Yeah, then, all right, it was still the Indian Lady Bells with you. Yes,
the says. In the Svar wedding, was he being Shechiyanu that he was trying to make? Was he trying because it's a new talis or a new mitzvah? Because for them, they wear a talis before.
No, it's a new talis. No, because his mom's a new talis. Because so they put on it. Right, it's a new bag, and the talis is a new bag. Right.
So that's, from our standpoint, is a new bag.
Yes, I would say that when I buy a new talis, I do say Shechiyanu on a new talis. A new talis, how often am I? I think I bought 2,000 since I've been married, and the talis last year, a good 10, 15 years. So, I'm a stomach, new talis is enough of a simple.
I'm going to be mighty with somebody else's Shechiyanu. Does he have to have, is it for the same reason that he's making a shatiyah? Because your brother won't stop getting married.
Yeah, but I don't know. I know. I don't think so. I think we assume it's all the same. Like Lamashal, we lump together shechiyanos and say Rosh Hashanah. We lump together shechiyanos of the yom with the kishofa, with the new fruit, with the new baget. Like I think it's all the same shechiyanos. You know, the post can discuss that shalom by Brichas Hagomel. Can one person be moti somebody else in Brichas Hagomel? One guy flew and one guy got out of the hospital. So is that the same Brichas Hagomel or not? They bring ragas from Kutchim. One guy brings a carbon totem for one thing, for another thing, can he bring moti? It's a wild ragas that are brought. I don't know, shechiyanos is more down to earth mitzvah. So it's all good enough. Like Lamosha, they bring a raya, the post came discussed. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Pesachim says that at a pigeon of Ben, so the father recites the Shechiyanu. So the Gemara is a shayla, is it really the father recites Shechiyanu, or is it the Kohen who recites the Shechiyanu? So the father's doing the mitzvah, on the other hand, the Kohen's making money off of it. So the Gemara concludes, no, the father makes the Shechiyanu. So some Acharanim write, yeah, the father makes it, but he's motzi the Kohen. He has to have in mind to be motzi the Kohen, even though the Kohen Shechiyanu is not a mitzvah dikha Shechiyanu, it's a hanah dikha Shechiyanu, and still one can be motzi the other. So they bring that as one of the riots to this discussion. There are just a couple of assorted halachas that deal not so much with the mitzvah of tzitzis, but how one has to treat tzitzis in the appropriate manner. So we'll just finish up a little bit discussing those halachas. So tzitzis, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, are different than tefillin for the following reason, that tefillin are tashmishi kedusha, and tzitzis are what I call tashmishi mitzvah. So usually tashmishi kedusha refer to things which are involved with Shem Hashem. So let's say tefillin have the Shem Hashem in them, say petar has the Shem Hashem in them, mezuzah, things of that nature. Those are considered to be dvarim shel kedusha, and even tashmishi kedusha have kedusha to them, things which are protecting the dvarim shel kedusha. Let's say you have a tefillin bag or a tefillin box, or you have a mezuzah case or things like that. So those things are considered to be kaddish as well and have to be treated appropriately when they're no longer fit to be used. That's what the Gemara says in Megillah, that tashmishe kedusha anignozen, you have to put them into shemus. So that applies, that's meikur adin to the dvarim shel kedusha themselves as well as to the tashmishe kedusha. However, the halacha is that only tashmishe kedusha have to be put into shame. It's not tashmishin to tashmishin. Something which is protecting something which in turn is protecting the davar shel kedusha does not have to be put into shame. So let's say tefillin are a little bit tough because the tefillin bag does touch the tefillin themselves a little bit. So the tefillin bag, we assume, is considered to be a tashmishi kedusha. But the talus bag is not. The outside, the plastic bag is not. That's something which is protecting something, which in turn is protecting something else. Let's say by mezuzah. So if you take a mezuzah and you put it directly into the case, so then the case is tashmishi kedusha, and you would have to put the case into shemus also. But we usually don't do that. We usually put the mezuzah into a plastic baggie or something. We wrap it around in something, and then we put that in turn into the mezuzah case. So therefore, the mezuzah case is a tashmish to tashmish, but the plastic baggie is a tashmish of kedusha. A lot of people aren't aware of this. A lot of people, when they check the mezuzahs, they open it up, they rip off the plastic, and throw the plastic into the garbage. So I don't think that's right. I think that plastic has to go into shemus. That plastic has to go into shemus a lot more than your old newspapers or something. A lot more than all the other printouts from every internet site about every Dvartar and Fashion Zaire or something. So these are real tashmish. This is mamish kedusha. This is touching something which is mamish touching a mezuzah has to be put into shemus. But a tashmish, the tashmish does not. I think the Meshul Chochma, if I'm not mistaken, writes that the makor for this halacha, the tashmish, doesn't really have to be put into shemus. It's learned out from the Kohanim and the Levim, that the Kohanim have kedusha to them. Why do they have kedusha? What's kaddish about a Kohen? He's a tashmish to kedusha because he deals with the karbonos. What's the job of a Levi? A Levi doesn't deal with the karbonos. A Levi helps the Kohen, who helps the carbon. So that's why there's no such thing as a kedushas Levi. There's a kedushas Kohuna, but a Levi doesn't have any more kedusha than anybody else. He's a regular Yisrael who has certain mitzvahs that apply to him. So that's what someone ma'ora that Rav Levi Yitzchak Radishov clearly didn't accept this, because he wrote a sefer called Kedushas Levi. So he clearly held that there's a thing called Kedushas Leviyah. So it's one of the many svarim that were named after a concept that probably doesn't exist. They talk about there's a sefer, the Onig Yontif. The Onig Yontif wrote a sefer. So some question whether that name of a sefer is correct. Is there such a thing as Onig Yontif? So the Gemara talks about Simchas Yontif, not Onig Yontif. Onig is by Shabbos. So that's a different question. So you have a few assorted svarim that may have been written about topics that aren't the Tosefer Shabbos. There was a sefer. So Tosefer Shabbos, according to the Gemara, doesn't exist. She called Tosefer Yom Kippurim. There's no such thing called Tosefer Shabbos. Again, you have a couple of those interesting tidbits of information. But getting back to this story, so the halacha is that Dvarim Shebe Kedusha have to go into Sheamus, Tashmisha Kedusha have to go into Sheamus, and the Tashmisha do not. But one thing that absolutely does not have to go into Sheamus is Tashmisha Mitzvah. The Gemara says Beferish, that if you have an old pair of tzitzis, so they don't have to go into Sheamus, you have an old lulav, doesn't have to go into Sheamus, an old tzchach from Sukkah, an old shofar, those things do not have Kedusha to them, there's no need to put them into Geniza. Nevertheless, the Rishonim write that even though the Gemara says they don't have to be put into Geniza, they shouldn't be thrown in with the dirty diapers. They shouldn't be thrown in with the banana peels. They should be wrapped up in a nice way. You put them in a nice baggie or something. You wrap them up and then you discard them appropriately. So a person doesn't have to put the old lulav into Sheamus. Whatever part of it you want to save to burn your chametz with, that's fine. And whatever else you put into a garbage bag and you throw it into the garbage. The Esrogim also, except for the Esrogim Shvius. So by the way, if anyone's interested, Rosh Chodesh Shvat coming up soon is the Zman Beer for Esrogim. So if anybody has an Esrog that's still edible, which is highly unlikely, I took a look at my Esrog a few weeks ago. It didn't look like it was Royal Lechil too much. But if you happen to have an Esrog somehow that remained over the last 3 months, so your lucky time to do beer is coming up on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So if you want to know how to do beer, we'll talk about it closer to Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Anyway, so therefore the post came right that tzitzis do not have to be put into Sheamus. Why don't you just be careful not to treat them in a bizarre way. Tzitzis in general are not treated with any kedusha at all. Therefore, it's mutal lechatchila shemachatchila to go into the bathroom with tzitzis on. What could be wrong going to the bathroom with tzitzis on? There are more quotes that there were some who are mocked, but not to sleep in the tzitzis because they felt that was like a bizoyan to the tzitzis to sleep in the tzitzis. There are more quotes such a practice. So there are others who say no, forget you should dafka sleep in your tzitzis. The Ari Hakadosh, the minig of the Ari, and the many chassidim who dafka do sleep in the tzitzis. So that's there are different minhagim yesh v'yesh. The only problem is if you sleep in your tzitzis, you may have brachas problems in the morning, so that's what we spoke about before. But in terms of the bizayin of the, if you have a talis gadol, it's not such a problem. If you're a bocher, then you can have a problem. But some Rishonim were opposed to sleeping in tzitzis. The Ramo writes in the same piece where he writes about one should, some who are makbid not to sleep in the tzitzis, he writes there were some who are makbid not to give their tzitzis to non-Jewish cleaners to clean. Because that was like the non-Jews, they're going to throw the tzitzis on the floor, they're not going to be careful with them, so that's going to be a bizoyin of a tzitzis. I don't know if it's about as I think the minig is lahakal, we give our talis gadol, people will give them to, if I can't, before Yom Tov, you usually get a free cleaning or something if you give it enough suits, so they'll clean your talis for free. So I think we assume that that's okay, that wasn't included in what the Ramo was referring to. So again, so even though tzitzis don't have kedusha, they're not really guided by the regular halachas of kedusha, nevertheless, they're a cheftishal mitzvah, so why don't you try to treat them in the appropriate way, whatever the definition of precisely what's considered to be appropriate. There is another area of hilchos tzitzis, things that are inappropriate to do with the tzitzis, and that's in terms of how one is knowing with tzitzis in a beis hakvara. So here the Gemara has in the third parak of brachas, we spoke about this on a Shabbos shiur a couple of months ago in the Shabbos afternoon shiur. The Gemara says in the third parak of brachas that one has to be careful when one goes into a cemetery with one's tzitzis. It shouldn't be a violation of loig l'rosh. It shouldn't be that I'm making fun of the mesim, that you guys can't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis anymore, so that's not right. So what would be a violation of that? So the Gemara says they have to be careful if your tzitzis are hanging out and you're walking over kvarim, you're walking over graves, so the tzitzis shouldn't drag along the graves, because that's like a slap in the face to the mesim, that loig l'rosh, they can no longer fulfill the mitzvahs. So from the simple reading of the Gemara is that as long as they're not dragging on the graves themselves, and that's fine. So the Rishonim write that maybe Bizman Hazeh, that's a little bit different. Maybe Bizman Hazeh, we're a little bit more machmer than that. And the reason why we're a little bit more machmer than that is in the olden days, so a beged of tzitzis was not really a beged shal mitzvah. Everybody wore four-cornered begadim. The goyim wore four-cornered begadim. The Gemara that says the Amora who didn't wear four-cornered begadim, he had a dafka go out of his way not to wear four-cornered beged. So for us, I'm sorry, in the olden days, if a guy was wearing a four-cornered beged, so that in and of itself wasn't a loig l'rosh. So never he has tzitzis on it, that's not a loig l'rosh. But if he lets the tzitzis slap onto the graves, that's considered to be a loig l'rosh. Whereas Bizman Hazeh, just the fact that I'm wearing the beged, maybe that's a loig l'rosh. The fact that the mason could quote unquote see that I'm wearing a beged shal mitzvah, maybe that's a loig l'rosh. So this is quoting the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that if a person is wearing tzitzis in a cemetery, Bizman Hazeh, that would be a problem, even if the tzitzis are not flying onto the graves themselves. What does it mean? You have to take the tzitzis off? No, the poskim, right? You just put them inside. It means even those who have the practice of wearing their tzitzis out, as long as they're covered, as long as you don't have to get undressed before you go to the basic kavaros, just tuck the tzitzis in. One should not wear the tzitzis flying out when they're in the vicinity of a meisim. So that's what we practice bisman. That's what the minhag is, that when one goes to the cemetery, even those who wear the tzitzis out should stick their tzitzis in. So I taught this to my son this summer. We go in there to Israel, so you never know where you're bumping into basic kavaros. A lot of tours of a lot of tulim end up in different basic kavaros. So they got into the practice. They knew that whenever we get to a cemetery, so up tzitzis have to go in. Not that they're so frum that they wear the tzitzis out all the time. It's just that they're just a mess when on the teul, everything when the rest of the time also. So they got into the minhag. My little one knows that we go to the cemetery. And I'm not sure he knows what a cemetery is, but he knows when you see it looks like a cemetery, he knows he puts the tzitzis in right away. In the middle of this discussion about Loeg LaRosh concerning tzitzis, is where the Gemara has in Maseches Benachos the following halacha, that even though Mesim are potim from mitzvahs, if a Mesim chavshit, the Gemara has a whole discussion about whether when Mesim come back, we also love them, whether b'shas tchias a Mesim, they can be chayim mitzvahs, not chayim mitzvahs. That's really that's what we spoke about a couple of months ago in shul, but. I spoke about this one time. I think it was a Shavuos night, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was in Beth Abraham. I think it must have been the year before our shul was started, the year when we were living here, but we didn't have a shul yet. So I could try the only possible year that I would have been in Bergenfeld on Shavuos without having my own shul. So I think I spoke on Shavuos night, in the middle of the night, about mitzvahs le'asa lavo, about what's going to be the status of Tchias HaMesim, because they told me on Shavuos night there's a klal gadol. You have to talk about something off the beaten path. If you talk about regular Ilchus Brachas or something, you're going to have 100 people snoring. So you have to just talk about something which is weird. So I spoke about something strange, so see what this year's topic will be. Still waiting for suggestions. What are you talking about? One year we spoke about no. When you spoke about the end of life issues, brain death, that kind of stuff. Yeah, the different years we spoke. When you spoke about birth control, I think. Right, yeah, I forgot what we talked about last year, I don't remember anymore. Oh, how to pass, yeah. Who's qualified to pass in shadows and who's not qualified? So you always try to find something. That's right, for sure. So we're open for suggestions. Anyway, so the Gemara says that putting aside the issue of Tchias HaMesim for a moment, the Gemara says there's another problem. There's a problem of Loeg LaRosh, that if you have a mace, and if you're going to dress him up in a talus, nobody told you to dress him up. You're not mechuyif to put a talus on a mace. But if you go into the Gemara says, and you must make sure the tzitzis are kosher. Because if the tzitzis are posel, that's like a bizoy in a mace. That's a laughing at the mace. A Loeg LaRosh, that haha, you don't fulfill mitzvahs anymore. So you have to be marked with the tzitzis are dafka kosher. So it's in this Gemara that Tosis raises the following problem. Tosis says, we don't do this. Tosis says, the Gemara says, mamish black and white, that you have to make sure the tzitzis are kosher. And Tosfos says, for care, we do the exact opposite. We dafka pasul the tzitzis. I mean, it is that we dafka untie the strings. We dafka cut one of the corners. We dafka do the opposite of what the Gemara says. So Tosfos is trying to figure out what happened, what's going on. So Tosfos tries to show you, they call him the Rebbe Natam, and the Rebbe, all the different Rishonim have different approaches to this topic. So some of the Rishonim write that this din doesn't apply. The din of the Gemara doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh for the following reason. That in the olden days, everyone was makpid on the mitzvah of tzitzis. So the guy, his whole life was makpid in tzitzis. So now you're going to take his tzitzis off when he's dead. So that's chavizayin. You're making fun of him. Now you don't have mitzvahs anymore. Whereas Bizman Hazeh, so many people aren't so makpid on tzitzis in their lifetime. So if you're going to go put tzitzis on them after they die, that's going to be the Loeg LaRosh. You're making fun of them your whole life. You weren't so from now. Achrimas Kedoshim, they say. You know, after someone dies, then they become a Kaddosh. So after he dies, you're going to put tzitzis on him. That's a bizayin amaze. So what should you do? A new cheshbon. You have to give a tzitzis check after he's dead. So if he was someone who was from all the years, he always wore tzitzis. So his third grade Rebbe says that he wore tzitzis all these years. So then he gets tzitzis on after he dies. And the guy who wasn't so machbid, him, you pass on the tzitzis. So Tosfos writes, that's going to be such a bizayin. Bizayin amei. So therefore, everybody has to be on equal ground. And you take the tzitzis off of everybody. Very, very strange. That's what Tosfos writes one day. Then Tosfos gives another answer. Tosfos says that the reason why we take the tzitzis off is because we don't pass like this Gemara b'chlal. Why don't we pass like this Gemara? Because it's a machlekes hatanoim. The only problem is you have to find the other Tana. Who's the other Tana? You look at all Shas Bavli, there's no other Tana. All Yerushalmi, there's no other Tana. Who's the other Tana? So Tosfos dug up a Maseches Smachos. So in Maseches Smachos, it's quoted that one of the Tanoim died, so they told their sons to passel the tzitzis. So Tosfos says, it must be we pass like that one Tana Maseches Smachos against the Gemara. So Tosfos says, that's strange, that we usually follow things in the Gemara. We have a Klal Golem, Psach Halacha, that Shas Bavli wins, beats out everything. So you dig up a Medrash, a Zayir, or something, everything loses out to Shas Bavli. probably. That's the Nimn of a Gomru. So Taisa says, it's not so strange. Taisa says, we find it one or two other cases also. It's not the only case in Pesach Halacha that we pass in like a Tana that appears in a different source than the Shas itself. So Taisa says, Marshal Mada Vadoma on a Tainus Tzibor. So the Gemara says in Megillah, what's the Kriyas HaTorah for Tainus Tzibor? The brachas are klolos. You have to learn the Tochacha on the Tainus Tzibor. And Taisa says, we don't do that. Why don't we do that? Because it says in Maseches Sofrim that you don't learn the brachas of klolos, you learn Vayachal. So Taisa says, that minig is like that Maseches Sofrim against the Shas Bavli. So Taisa says, it's strange. It's taka very strange. We don't know exactly where it came from, but that's where it comes from. So Taisa says, Hu adinami, we paskin like that Maseches Smachos, that the Tanoim said you passi at sittas rather than having kosher sittas on. So whatever the rationale for the minig is, that is the minig. That's the minig out of Yemezeh. The Ramah quotes this minig. That's what the Ashkenazi minig is. The Sfaradim, I don't think, have this minig. But by the Ramah, by the Ashkenazim, by our communities, that is the minig that we dafka passi the tzitzis, even though the Gemara says pretty much beferish that one is dafka not supposed to do that. That's what the minig Yisrael is. There's a famous story about the Gra, different versions of the story exactly, but the story about the Gra, that the Gra was opposed to this minig, and he felt that we should follow what the Gemara says befeverish and not follow this custom. We should go back to the real din of burying the mace with kosher tzitzis. So the way the story goes is that he instructed to some of his close tamidim that when he would die, they should make sure to sneak into the Chavar Kedisha, make sure that he's buried with a kosher talus, with kosher tzitzis. So what happened was the grove was niftar Chol HaMoed Sukkis. So apparently whoever was in charge of taking care of this went home for Yom Tov or something. So apparently when the grove was buried, the Chavar Kedisha didn't have word of that those tzavos of the Gra, and in fact he was buried like everybody else. So that's the way the legend or the story goes. So whatever, that's the way it is. I think in Eretz Yisrael, if I'm not mistaken, they don't bury with the talus altogether. I think the Minig Rishalayim is no. Anybody know firsthand? I think the Minig Rishalayim, what, you know? I think the Minig Rishalayim is that they don't bury, because you're not mechuyev to bury with the talus. I think the Minig Ariyah, I forgot already. I think the Minig Rishalayim, if I'm not mistaken, is that they don't bury with the talus b'chlal, so it's not even a shaila. But those who have the Minig are burying with the talus, so the Din of the Gemara is one way, and the Minig Yisrael, the Minig Ashkenazim at least, is the other way. Okay, I think we could truthfully make a siyum on the Chassidus. Next week, I'm going to be away next Sunday, so there won't be a shiur. The following week, we'll be at Shem, hopefully we'll start Hilchos Ribbis. So we have a new topic, and we'll see where it takes us. We'll see how hard it gets, but hopefully it'll be exciting.
Sense.